Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mark your calendars. January 13th is almost upon us. This is Wretched Radio. Hope you can join me, Jason Allen, Virgil Walker from G3 Ministries. Monday, January 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. What better way to celebrate that federal holiday than to study that minister's theology? Get ready. It's a Lulu. You can find us at the YouTube machine. Just look for Wretched, and you can subscribe and you can do the reminder thing, and it'll let you know 9 p.m. Monday, the theology. I think the title of it is The Disturbing Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. And kindly send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Anything you see that is wretched, please send it. Or text away at 877-282-2337.
This is from Matthew. Todd, I know that you've been promoting the Better Way podcast coming soon, but I must ask, since this is a podcast with a woman host, is this a podcast a man should or shouldn't listen to?
I think you used the keyword three times.
What's that?
Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a podcast. It's not a church service. It's not in church context. Can you learn from a woman? Yeah. The issue is authority. And if it, I think also context also, I think, makes a difference. But nevertheless, because sometimes a woman can usurp authority and it's not in the church if it is playing the role of authoritative teacher with a group of men. But if a woman does a podcast and you as a man want to eavesdrop, I don't think you're violating 1 Timothy 2:12 at all. I think you're just gleaning and learning. Now, what about like a Joyce Meyer conference? Well, that's more like a church service. And that's a woman getting up to speak to an audience authoritatively. I don't think a man has any business. I don't think any human should be going to a Joyce Meyer. That was a bad example, I guess, is what that was.
It was.
Nobody be going to the Joyce Meyer business, but listening to another podcast to learn, I wouldn't. Guys, you're going to learn. John Kratz. We haven't released this yet. Oh, wait. So good. Gentle Man. And it was intended to be for a male audience, and it was. But I thought to myself, as John Kratz, he's one of our fellows here at Fortis, as he was giving one of his 10 or 12 lectures on what it looks like to be a gentle man, a biblical godly man, I thought any woman who listens to this is going to glean some wisdom. That's what I should expect from my husband. That's what he's supposed to look like. Or positively, that's what he does look. Oh, cool. Good. I got myself a good one here. And you can learn. So I don't think that you're violating scripture by tuning into Libby Glosson, The Better Way. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, it is. It is. Hey, look, I just want to say about Libby, I've worked with a lot of people. She is one of the people that have picked up radio as quickly as she has than anybody I've ever worked with.
What about Greg Gifford?
Well, yeah, yeah, but he.
What about Brad Bigney?
These guys have done stuff.
You're sexist, and you're probably racist too.
She's a natural, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah,
but
you know, what I think what drives that. First of all, she's got a lot of gray matter that helps.
Yeah,
but she just has a desire to see people love the Lord more. And so what do I, so she's like, Jimmy, listen to it. Tell me what you think of it. Hey, right, I did it like this. Tell me what you think of it. Yeah. She wants to be pleasing to the Lord. She wants it to be the best offering she can give. So I think those two things, and she's gifted. Yeah. So that doesn't hurt either. That starts February 7th. Don't confuse that with January 13th. Get ready, 2025. I'm telling you, we got Fortis stuff. We're going to be presenting these things. We're already scheduling more webinars. I think they're on topics that hit right in the bullseye of our lives. And we're going to be producing resources. A Life Without the Numb is with Greg Gifford. His book is going to be coming out in the spring, Lies My Therapist Told Me. I think maybe, possibly, we're going to be releasing Play the Man. It's the book that I wrote on pornography, and it's different. A number of years ago, like 20 or so, I delivered a sermon at a church. This was a big error. This, looking back, it's like, duh. I was actually asked to preach on Father's Day a sermon aimed at men and pornography. And it didn't even dawn on me till it was done when women were looking at me like, what were you thinking? Well, I was asked to do it and I didn't think. I'm not like Libby Glosson. Okay, so back off. So delivered that sermon and then somebody grabbed it. What's the name of that press? They grabbed it and they basically said, can we turn it into a booklet? Sure. And it's called, it's Slaying the Lust Dragon. So I think we had it on audio and I think we had it in a book form. And I think that it's all still valid, but there was something missing. There was something missing. It was strong because it was a real powerful denunciation of sin and what porn does, how corrupting it is, and a call to repent and examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. It had all of those elements, but it didn't have anything to really help a man. This book does. I think it's different. And I think it'll set your heart on a trajectory that helps you to overcome your sin more and more. And so we're going to be releasing that amongst a bunch of other things. All of it, by the way, courtesy of our gospel partners, all of those, the stuff that we've got on the website that you can watch, the daily clips, all of it, the podcast, free. Go to the podcast machine, fortisplus.org.
This is from Debbie. Todd, she texted in, I know the Bible says that fasting should be a private thing. So do you think it's okay for a couple to fast together as they pray for their adult children's marriage?
Yes, because you're one flesh and you're not fasting in front of somebody else. It's your spouse. And that is how close you should be. And you're not doing it to brag. The admonition of Jesus about fasting in public, you know, like, oh, hey, how are you doing, Todd? Well, I'm fasting, you know, for spiritual reasons. That's what Jesus was after. It was self-righteousness. It was to be a braggart. That's what the admonition is after. So if you're doing that with your husband, we're supposed to spur one another onto love and good deeds. We do that with each other. We run the race of sanctification with our spouses. Now, you could still corrupt it with your attitude if you're trying to impress your spouse. But if you're doing it spiritually together as one flesh, I say, fast on. 877-282-23. Don't read a book by Jensen Franklin on it, though. Just do your fast. Ignore the Jensen. 877-282-2. His church is going to be opening up in our town. I think, I don't know if it's this year or not. He's, can I tell you? You tell me if this is sinful.
Okay.
I want to put up billboards in Alpharetta. That's our town. That's where Alpharetta Bible Church is. Because that... You ever doubt Providence?
That's it.
Alpharetta Bible Church is actually in Alpharetta. We teach the Bible. It's a church. That ain't luck. And I want to get a billboard on Highway 400, like for whatever, January, just for a month. We don't unhitch the Old Testament.
Oh, that's good.
AlphaRetaBibleChurch.org. Is that too snarky?
Well, you know he'll drive by it.
No, he'll be driven by it. Oh. But we digress. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Hunter. Todd, when Lazarus was brought back from the dead, was he deglorified? Did he go from
that's being, a funny phrase.
Yeah, did he go from being in heaven to back on earth as a sinner?
No, I don't think... We don't know where those people went. That's all. We know they died. So what state were they in? Did they know what was happening? It's a miracle from start to finish. So they genuinely died, but they did not go to heaven. This is what makes it a miracle. This is when God suspends his laws to do as he pleases. So I don't think somebody would go to heaven. I don't think that somebody would go to hell and be snatched out of hell and sent back to heaven to write a book, or right back to earth to write a book. And the same thing is true with all of these heavenly tourism books. You die absent from the body, present with the Lord. These people, forever. These people could not have been snatched back. So where did they go? The answer is, I just don't know. When was the last time you heard a talk show host say that? 877-282-2337.
I thought you knew everything.
Oh, in my mind, I do.
What's our verse of the month?
Huh? What? Need some lion's goat.
Lion's coat? You don't even know the name of it.
Whatever.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to...
No, you're not.
Why?
Read the question, Hicks.
Are Christians that are not members of a church going to go to heaven? That's a text from Trenton.
Are Christians
that are not church members going to go to heaven?
Oh, I couldn't possibly know. A Christian should be a church member. And now there could be a lot of reasons that they're not. I don't think, with the exception of a physical limitation, I think a Christian should be a member of a church. I think that that is an assumption that is replete throughout the New Testament. And if somebody is willfully not wanting to do that, I'd be concerned. I wouldn't make a definitive declaration they're not saved. I'd want to come alongside that person, teach them how wonderful the local church can be, point them to all the Bible verses that indicate you really need to be there to not forsake the assembling of the saints so you can do the one another's with one another in the local context. But I wouldn't conclude that they're not, and unless somebody is like belligerent and I hate the church, I hate the bride of Christ and all the people, well, then I might be concerned, but let's not make blanket statements. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we've got a lot going on. We've got our latest webinar coming up January 20th with Virgil Walker, where he and Todd will discuss the disturbing theology of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's going on January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for more details. Also, coming up February 7th, The Better Way debuts with Libby Glossin. And trust me, ladies, you don't want to miss this. And what else is happening here at Fortis Institute? Well, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. We thank you for all of the support that you've shown us here at Fortis Institute. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. flee to the Savior, and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You don't think Jimmy can be snarky? Well, this is Wretched Radio.
Me?
What did you say after the last segment? And say it the same way. Because I kind of put the gun to your head.
You wish you
had. You were going to try to just stretch it out.
I was.
And have we had blather like, for 57 seconds. I watched the clock, you know. And you didn't want to read the question, but you did. And then when immediately went to break, you said.
You wish you had more time for that question, don't you?
But it wasn't said like that.
Yes, it was.
An attitude.
I'm so pleasant.
877. I don't think I have more to add. You got to be in a church. It could be a sign you're not saved if you're not willing to join a local church. Now, some people are in a place where there isn't a good local church, genuinely not a good Bible at all. They're not within orthodoxy. Unfortunately, and this hurts a little bit, but if you're in one of those scenarios, if you've got a church and some of their secondary and tertiary doctrines, you're not nuts about at all, but they're swear on the essentials, and that is your only option, join that church. It's that important for you. It is that necessary. It is your safe place. And if you're not a member of a local church, you're the Marlboro man and you are riding out into the Montana. By the way, Montana, did you see that game with Montana, North Dakota?
No.
Do you think Lion's Mane would help with my ADH, whatever?
Maybe. Yeah.
So become a member of a local church. You want to become a member of a local church and serve there. And by the way, it will grow you. If you're like me, and if you are, I'm sorry for that. But if you're like me and you're kind of, you know, like conservative theologically and you just really like your tuts and your tittles all in the correct places, that would be hard, wouldn't it? That'd be hard. And yet you would be called to love those people too. Imagine how that would grow you. You see, there's no downside to being a member of at least a small Orthodox church. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from Dominic. Todd, you recently mentioned that a pastor does not have an obligation to help an attendee at his church if the individual is not a member.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it makes sense that a shepherd is only responsible for his flock. However, shouldn't a pastor be willing and able to help a professing believer since we're unified through Christ and part of the capital C church?
Yes, yes. If everybody who's a member is being taken care of, that membership has its privileges and the pastor is committed to you. Now, if you're a regular attender and the pastor can, he will. Of course he will. I mean, any pastor who's decent is going to make that sort of an effort. And he's a good pastor isn't going to go, all right, so your kid ran away from home and you're hurting. But I notice you're a regular attender. I have some Bible verses I could offer, but we have a class for a membership program. It lasts 12 weeks. Take it and I'll share so you can find comfort in losing your child. Nobody's going to do that. They're going to help you. But you have to be prepared. Should the pastor say to you, my friend, brother, sister, I'm so sorry that you're hurting. My plate is overflowing with the needs of the people of the church. I'll do my best to find you some other help, but I just can't. Don't be offended. Don't be offended by that. Please don't. In fact, don't ever be offended by your pastor's scheduling. Please don't. If you got a good guy, if you got a guy who's square. Oh, don't ever be offended. If he doesn't show up at your bed when you're getting your surgery, don't. Look, it's possible maybe he's become neglectful in some of his duties. Well, you can talk to him about that, but don't be scalded by it. Okay, the man, maybe he's off course a little bit and he is sinning, but just give him grace. Okay, he must be super busy because I know he's a godly shepherd. So I'm not going to be offended by this. My nose won't be, oh, only a deacon came and an elder didn't. No. Not if you got a batch of godly guys serving as elders and deacons, you got yourself a great church. Now, I'm not kidding. It's a great church, but we don't have a lot of programs. You got something better than programs. You know, the kids land, that's not like Wamba land. Well, praise God for that. You got something better. You've got elders who care and they're trying to be godly and biblical. Cut them some slack. They got stuff going on. They've got loads that they're carrying. And it's not that they don't care. It's just that there could be some constraints that we're simply not aware of. And we put the best construction on everything, even with our pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Alex. Todd, are minimum wages...
And by the way, if I could, just to clarify, Jimmy, would you go back? Well, I don't know if you said it was a text or an email, but you said the pastor isn't obligated to that. Yes, I did say it, but let me just package that a little bit. It was with all that other stuff. It wasn't like, he's not obligated to take care of you. It's like, he isn't. This is one of those assumptions about church membership. We were going through the one another's earlier. There's like 40 of them. All right. With whom should you do the one another's? Let's leave your pastor out of this for a moment. With whom should you do the one? Okay, Jimmy, I'll put you on the plate.
Okay.
With whom should you do the one another's?
Everybody.
Everybody.
That's
so what have you been doing today? Have you been taking care of the people in the office next door? Have you been one anothering them?
No,
I mean, there's a Christian ministry right next door to us. Have you been one anothering them?
No, you didn't let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
Everyone that's a member of my church.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't you care about other Christians?
I do, absolutely.
Well, then why aren't you one anothering everybody? Because you can't.
That's right.
You can't. You just can't. I mean, like... Even if you dedicated 24/7, which you can't, to one anothering everybody on the planet, you're not going to get the job done. And so the one another's actually constrain that to local church. Well, is it everybody in the church? Nope. It's with the members. Now, same sort of principle and pattern, though, as the fellow who emailed in about my pastor and being obligated to take care of people who aren't church members. The same rule actually applies to you. You got to be one anothering members first. That's your family. And this is why the regular attender label that we've adopted just far too quickly in evangelicalism, it is not good. It is not good. Because if you're not a member of a church, look, the people who are members there, yes, they should one another to you if they can. But if they can't, they're not obligated to you. You haven't joined the fam. That's the joy of membership. Now, again, if you are a regular attender, we're going to love on you as best we can. But because we don't have authority over you, we can't really love you rightly. We can't. You're in sin. We cannot correct you. What power do we have? There's no muscle to enforce a biblical error. And so you need to be a member of a church. And then I would add on that same caveat that we talked about before with pastors who are really busy. If you're a member of a church and your pastor can't get to you, oh, cut him some slack. Cut him some slack. You got yourself a godly man. You give him the benefit of the doubt. Sorry for the digression.
That's okay.
All righty.
This is from Alex Todd. Are minimum wages biblical or socialist? Should they be defended on the grounds that a worker is worthy of his wages?
Yep. There it is. Look, if we're going to be capitalist, which it is a bit of a theological subject because I do believe capitalism is supported in the Bible, then we need to let capitalism play itself out. That's why I'm not a big fan of unions. I think the slow hand of capitalism takes care of itself. It'll take a while. And if a group of workers at a particular place say, boss, we're starving, we're not getting, I know people down the street, up the wage, would you? I say, go for it. Respectfully do that, but go for it. But the idea of the government stepping in and mandating any wage, I think that's outside of their jurisdiction. And I don't think that they have the authority to even do that biblically. Of course, they do it legally, but they don't, I think, have biblical support for that. And yeah, I do believe it. So anything that is, you must pay this much, this is the minimum wage. How deep into socialist territory is it? I don't know, but it's in that territory. So too, by the way, taxes that are different levels of taxation. I don't think that's biblical at all. It's so funny to me. The rich need to pay their fair share. Okay, good. So what is that number that we all pay? Because that's what fair means. We all do the same. And so this gradation of taxes where wealthy people, whatever it is that they pay, because I don't know, whatever it is that they pay, and that's more, that's not fair to them. And I get it. I think it's really motivated really by a rather covetous and greedy heart. They've got a lot. So it's fair that they are mandated to give it away. That ain't fair. That's coercion. And I don't think that's biblical at all. If we share our money, it should be from the heart. It's because we want to give. So I think the idea of taxation that is based on economic level, yeah, that is socialist. And that ain't biblical. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.